forward, receive the offering this morning. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the old rugged cross. Knowing the promise that is given to us, you know the cross is a place of suffering and of shame, and yet at the same time, Lord, it's also a symbol that reminds us of the victory that was won there for each and every one of us by the Son of God. Sinless, perfect, holy blood that was shed for sinners like us to redeem us and to bring us into a right relationship with you, Lord, is a tremendous, tremendous gift to all who will come to believe what was done there for us to give us salvation, eternal life. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gifts that are given unto you this morning. We give, Lord, because we want to. If there's anyone here today that feels like they have to give, Lord, we just pray that they just keep their offering, keep their money. You don't need our money, but you do need our hearts. And we thank you for the joy that you give to us when it comes to giving unto you. So, Lord, this is something we just want to do. You give us whatever we make, and we just give a little bit back out of thankfulness. You've given us the talents. You give us the gifts that are needed to be employed. We just give a little bit back. And we just say thank you. We bless these gifts today, Lord, in touching people's lives, not only in this community, but around the world. We pray in Jesus' name.
One another with all wisdom. And as you sing songs, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts for whatever you do, whether you word or deed at all, in the name of the Lord.
Guys, a little too radical. call 911 and get them out of here.
We'll see it for you after the message.
Well, it's good to be able to come and share God's word with you today, and invite you to stand as we give reverence to his word, because it is important for us to hear today and to apply to our lives, as only the Holy Spirit can do that. Comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, now keep in mind, the context of this is that there are many thousands, you see at the very beginning of chapter 12, a crowd of many thousands, and then all this kind of just doesn't seem to fit. But then somebody just comes up and says this to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." You know that that means trouble. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." Heavenly Father, help us to understand and be rich towards you this morning and every day of our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are many angles that we can look at this text today. I kind of came up with like five of them. It could all be sermons, but I will not do that. But I just gave you some of the angles that we see here. First one is that someone is not happy in regards to an inheritance. Some of you have probably been down this road of either receiving an inheritance or someone in the family along the way who has demanded their inheritance. And it all is on your shoulders to see that that happens. But this guy who comes up and asks Jesus is not a happy camper. And, you know, maybe he's feeling left out of the inheritance. Maybe he's saying that this isn't fair. Or maybe he feels that he's entitled to getting something that his brother has. And maybe he and his brother are both just greedy guys. And so Jesus doesn't want to touch this request by any means. Jesus calls it greed. He warns his disciples, he warns the crowd, he warns this person to watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And I just thought, all kinds of greed. That means there's not just one kind of greed, there's many kinds of greed. And I'm not sure what they all are, but there's a lot of it out there. Before we moved to Iowa, we lived in Dickinson, North Dakota, which is the southern end of the big Bakken oil reserve. And we received an influx of people from all over the world. I don't know how many times people came to the church wanting you to find them a place to sleep for the night. And they all had the same story. I spent everything I had to get here to make some big money, and I don't have any place to stay. And I'm going like, give me a break. Who does that? I mean, if you're going to go somewhere, don't you make sure you got a place to stay before you would go? I go like, well, my thinking is not the same, I guess. So I helped a number of people. One time we had to think, four or five, Sharon, where are you? We had some young guys from Minnesota. Was it five?
Three.
All three. Felt like five. And they're looking for jobs to get into the oil field. And they needed a place to stay, so we said, okay, come and stay at our house. And they kind of liked it there. Because Sharon would feed them meals. And I had to tell them one day, go like, hey guys, this isn't part of the deal. We give you a place to stay, you go out and look for a job, and you get a job, and then you move out. We're not your mama and daddy here. And don't expect my wife to be making all the meals for you, because that just wasn't part of the deal. But what we notice with those that begin to get word that they drilled on their land and on their property, that it changed the whole complexion of Western North Dakota. People got oil on their land and they received royalties. The neighbor down the road didn't get an oil well and did not get any royalties. And people who once got together and enjoyed one another's company and were very neighborly to one another, the oil came in and the haves and the have-nots began to butt heads. And all of a sudden, you got people who weren't talking to each other. It affected churches. Churches that had people that came and attended the same church, all of a sudden now they started sitting on the other side of the church or didn't want to sit next to the neighbor because they were jealous that they received something and they didn't. And the stories are many. But I've seen firsthand what greed does to half of a state. And I'm glad I moved to Iowa because there is no greed here. Why do you guys laugh? There's all kinds of greed, isn't there? And we have to be honest today. We're all greedy with something. If you're really honest, you have to say, you know, I'm greedy on some things in my life that may not be with some of you. Greed is a form of selfishness, and greed can be translated into a long word that's not used much, but it's in the last two commandments. Thou shalt not covet. Deals with covetousness. Say that with me. Covetousness. Sometimes people can't say that. It's like saying aluminum. You know. But covetousness is really a form of greed. Greed is that desire to have more. It brings discontentment into your life because you don't have something that you really want. And you're never satisfied if you do get it. Because you still want a little bit more. I think one of the Rockefellers that lives out in New York, this goes way back a number of years, when they first found oil, and the Rockefellers got a lot of oil, and they invested a lot of money, and they became this multi-gazillionaires. And somebody asked them, so when do you have enough? And the Rockefeller said, just $1 more. Just $1 more. I know people like that, and maybe you're sitting next to one, or one behind you, one in front of you, or maybe you are that person here today. You just are never content. You always want something more. The third point is more is better. You can look at this text and say more is better. You see what this guy has? It's a parable that Jesus tells his people, and sometimes your esteem is tied up with what you have. What you drive, what you have in your bank account, what you have invested. Your esteem can be determined on that. There's a saying that says, whoever has the most toys wins. Not always. But more is better when really it's not. Because what you find here in the parable that Jesus is teaching from, and what he's trying to get the point across, is that those who are greedy are just thinking about the here and the now. They're not thinking really long term. Another thing we can look at here in the text is that everything you have, according to the parable, how this guy responded, it was his. Everything you have, it's yours. It's mine. But in reality, everything we have is God's. You ever thought about that? Everything is God's. He has given it to you for you to be the manager of, for you to enjoy it, but don't think it came because of you. God gave you the health. He gave you the brains to do the things that you do in life. It all goes back to what he's done and how he has blessed you. So don't take all the credit. I did this, I'll do this, I've accomplished this, because that becomes prideful. Pride. And that middle letter in the word pride, just like the middle letter in the word sin, is the same. It's always evolving around I. This might be from here. The last point here is death. Jesus says something very, very forceful here. He calls this rich man, you fool. Even though he has everything any farmer could want. He uses a farmer here. Could he use any other kind of occupation, but he takes a farmer. And he calls him, you fool. And the reason he calls him a fool is that this very night, you're going to die. And then what are you going to do with everything that you say that you have? I like doing yard work and planting trees and planting flowers. And a real revelation that came to me along the way in life is like, you know, I'm really planting all these things for somebody else to enjoy. They even get the weeds. But whatever I accomplish, no matter how nice I like it to be, eventually it's going to be somebody else's. But this very night, you're going to die. A fool in the Bible is where someone says that there is no God, says in the Psalms. It is someone who just goes on with life and just disregards God altogether from his or her life. God's just not a part of your life. That's what a fool is. No room for Jesus. No room for the Lord in your life. And so therefore, I just come to the title of the message today is nearsightedness and versus farsightedness. And what we find here in the parable that Jesus gives, we see the nearsightedness of how this farmer is just looking at everything up close and personal and is not looking down the road in farsighted. And farsighted, I mean eternity. Where is he going to spend eternity? And he misses that important fact. Nearsightedness is only concerned about the present, the immediate moment, and the now. And what he misses is that you can have everything in life. You can have everything you've ever wanted, and you can still end up in hell. How do you like them apples? Because that's true. There will be a lot of nice people in hell. Because they had everything, everything kind of went their way. They felt they had the world by the tail. But they never had Jesus Christ. And so therefore, without Christ, is God's wrath. And God then doesn't want to send anyone to hell. We send ourselves there because we reject Christ. We find also in Luke, I believe it's chapter 15, I believe. Or is it 16? No, 16. Luke 16, you have there the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and goes along with this. Yeah, the poor man was poor his whole life, and there was a rich man who had everything his whole life, lived in luxury. But both of them had something in common, just like we do here today. Every one of us is going to die. The rich man's going to die, the poor man's going to die. But Luke tells us what happens to the poor guy versus the rich man. I don't know. Maybe it's my years. Try that. Farsightedness sees an eternity with the Lord. And it says that you can have nothing. You can have absolutely nothing. And yet possess everything. Because you are rich in God. Some of you have gone to third world countries. And you have seen how people live and have absolutely nothing. And yet you're the happiest people to be around. And they'd be happy to kill their goat and to share it with a meal with you. And you go like, no, don't, not the goat. That's yours. No, you're our friend. We do this to honor you for coming. And they have goat. That's really all they have. And yet they're happy. Are you happy today? You look at all that you have, all that you possess. Are you happy, or do you kind of go, man, we got this mic out here. Your life is not about possessions, it's about where you are looking at in eternity. What are your eternal values? You may not be able to see them now, but they will be seen one day. That's important. I want to close by just sharing this story with you. Many years ago, there was a discovery of a miner shack in the interior of Alaska. And in the shack were two skeletons. And on the table was a very large amount of gold. And there was a letter on that table that stated how successful that these guys were in the hunt for gold. Was there on the table. They were so eager to mine gold that they ignored the early coming of winter, and a fierce blizzard came, and they dug for gold and they found gold, but they realized they ran out of food. And they starved to death in that shed, in the middle of Alaska, with all that valuable material called gold. They died along with it. There are many people like those gold miners. They labor for wealth, for property and status. But one day, the icy hand of death is going to come for their lives, come for our lives. It's with something. What then will you have to show for your life? What will you show? What will you have accomplished? Many of you have gone to funerals and out to the cemetery, and this is not new to me. You've seen this and heard this before. But you find that there are no U-Haul trailers out at the cemetery. You have to leave it all the time. Everything. We came into this world naked, and we'll leave naked. Oh, we might be dressed up by somebody else, dresses us. We can't take anything with us. We can leave things for people. And hopefully you have done that. Heavenly Father, may we be farsighted here this morning. May we realize that all that we have, we're going to have to leave behind. Make us wise. May we never be called fools. But may we be wise because we know that we have our sights on Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the lives that you've given to us, the life you've given to us. There's no perfect life here today. And there's been a lot of curveballs, a lot of ups and downs in everyone here today. But Lord, everything happens for a reason and a purpose. And you are in control. May we always come back to that fact that you are in control. And all that I have comes from you. May we be good stewards. May we not be foolish. But may we be rich in things of God. In your name we pray. Let us say the Apostles' Creed together. I invite you to stand as we do so. Say it together, I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. I do want to remind you that for communion, we have an open communion. That means that whoever would like to receive it from the Lord's table, you don't have to be a member of Harbor of Joy. You want to receive his body and his blood. Just take in as much as you can what that all means for you, what God did for you. You are invited to come. There there are two stations. There's one station here that you come, you get the body and the blood, the bread, either grape juice or wine. If you want grape juice, just hold your hand like this. And if you prefer the wine, just do nothing and drink wine. And communion is always a special time of being able to say, Lord, I need you in my life. I listened to David Jeremiah this morning. He talked a little bit about communion. He said, communion is kind of that time when we draw close to the Lord, where it's kind of like where the Lord pulls up a chair next to you and puts his arm around you. Just to let you know that he loves you and he cares for you. He wants to be there for you. So may that be your experience here this morning. And before we do that, we're going to hear a song from Carrie and Cindy. The Lord's Prayer. Christ, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Eat. Remember this, what I've done for you." In the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, said to them, "Drink all of it. This is my blood shed for you. For the remission of sins, do this in remembrance of me." We're to do this until he comes again. I mentioned just one station. You can come up and stand and go that way. Another station is you can come up and you can kneel at the altar if you'd like and spend as much time as you want. You'll be served up here. But there's no limit as far as how long you can stay. That's between you and God. So with that, I'm just going to ask the servers to come. We'll serve you.
Oh.
our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith on the everlasting life. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.